right now, it's time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington, historian extraordinaire and sporter of a very snazzy suit today, who joins us here now in the studio.
It's
How are
cold
you?
Cold out, Aaron.
You're looking good today.
All the layers I could think of. It still didn't seem warm enough.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I'm glad to know that the roads are being brined. That's always good.
I did
good.
See those signature stripes on the road as you're driving on 40 earlier today. I'm like, yes, they're out. That's good.
Well, that's good. Well, you know, this is such an interesting weekend. Of course, as we've said many times, history keeps happening right in front of us.
We've got a shutdown now. We'll be talking about that in 2 years.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I've been holding on to this information for the last hour ever since I found out about it, because I wanted you to be the first to hear out there in radio land listening to History
radio
Matters.
Land, yes.
So the shutdown affects a whole bunch of different agencies, federal agencies, one of which, as it turns out, is the FCC. They are shut down.
My gosh.
So we can swear as much as we want to now. Now, apparently,
this is the best station.
Playing nothing but NWA and G.G. Allin next hour. You mark my words.
That's really something. I did not know that. Wow.
I just found this out.
No one can complain.
No one's minding the store. That's apparently is what's going on.
Well,
so
you know, it is interesting.
We got to police ourselves.
And I can see you holding yourself back. one of the things that's interesting is this thing about possibly emergency powers. And, you know, North Carolina has actual history about this. And it goes back to almost 250 years ago, 1771, when Governor Tryon, the English colonial governor, was granted emergency powers in what was called the Riot Act, and went out to settle things up with the regulators. And it did not end well.
Literally read them the Riot Act, right?
Yes, he actually did, but exceeded his authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was fairly vindictive. In fact, the six guys executed over in Hillsborough on June 19, 1771, we're on the receiving end of all that sort of stuff. So there's reasons to be cautious about believing that that the exercise of emergency powers will be done with a judicious restraint.
That was a very judicious and restrained way of putting that.
Yes,
another way of putting it would be that's just a nightmare waiting to happen, and no one should ever even consider it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So that we're in Alice in Wonderland times. We don't want to get to Humpty Dumpty times. So, anyways, one of those kind of interesting things that just popped up, and since it's not necessarily May when you have the Battle of Alamance County, but it's current in terms of saying what was happening, and this idea that, what happens when you go that direction, and it cannot always be constrained as well.
Yep.
There are some nice things, and this happens today, where one funny thing, and some people may remember the phrase, "Where's the beef?" that the actress Clara Peller, 81-year-old, did for the Wendy's chain, and that came about in 1984.
I still remember watching that commercial.
Exactly. It went for more beyond saying, where is the substance here? Also, something else happens here on January 10th, 1936. The first state highway marker was dedicated. Now, if you've ever seen those highway markers, Twitter on a sign is one way it's described.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, and I'm not sure everybody knows this, but the public can actually nominate subjects to be actually put on those signs. They have to follow certain kind of guidelines, but an eminent panel of historians across the state come together twice a year and evaluates them. Obviously, they don't pick a lot, but they do try to pick some that are representative of people or history that's very unique and very specific.
Interesting.
So, and I can tell you this from my own personal history.
You had one.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. This was in Hillsborough, which has the largest concentration of highway markers in the state.
Yes.
And
the largest concentration of history in the state, of course.
Oh, of course, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Right here in Orange County, you know, the birthplace of the Bill of Rights. And I noticed several years ago that one marker seemed to be missing. So I called up Mike Hill, then the director, and I said, Mike, one of the markers is missing. And he said, well, have you called 911? I said, no, it didn't get stolen. It's never been put up. So I described it to him. He said, great, you know, write it down and dot the I's, cross the T's. And 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, that went up about the 1788 Constitutional Convention.
Interesting.
So
that's a surprising one that it didn't go up earlier than that, because
that's
a significant thing.
Yeah. Well, there's a marker on the corner in front of the Presbyterian Church on that lot where that convention took place, and there had been Governor Hunt had been invited during bicentennial things, but nobody had thought about, we need to have a marker.
Yeah, something to remember it after the event wraps up.
Exactly.
So the first state highway marker was dedicated this day in history in 1936. What was the first thing that we commemorated?
It commemorates the life of John Penn, an early political leader and signer of the Declaration of Independence, which is kind of... I guess that's noteworthy enough.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
I think the biggest thing would be finding cars at that point to mark it. Like, all right, we got to build a road.
Yeah, right.
Highway marker. But a really good idea, and it was modeled after a similar program in Virginia that was started in 1926 when there were fewer cars. So that's a nice thing to know, and it still continues today.
Awesome.
They're made out of aluminum, and they do actually... refurbish them, they update them. And here's a neat thing. If you ever get close enough to one, you will see a date when it was installed. And sometimes they will update these and revise them
nice.
As well.
Can we put one next to that one saying on this spot in 1936, the first North Carolina State Highway marker went up?
I think that is a brilliant idea. I wish I had thought of it. That is so good. I think you should nominate that one.
Done.
Definitely. Yeah.
Done. We're making it happen.
I think that's a good one. Okay. Let's see. There are some other ones that are kind of interesting. Now, North Carolina has some really interesting stories. One of them is, and I did not know this, January 7th, 1839, the first silver mine in the United States opened at Silver Hill near Lexington in Davidson County. Awesome. I did not know that.
Was it just Hill before it was Silver Hill? What was it?
Oh, my gosh.
Named
you were just
before
hitting,
that.
110%.
Or was it Silver Hill the whole time, and that just turned out to be really lucky?
That's a really good question. Leads us to continue to query about such things. I like that idea of it was Hill and then became Silver Hill.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah. That's also... January 7th, for those who are interested, is National Bobblehead Day.
All right.
So that's, and I'm sure that all the people who are celebrities here at WCHL will be getting their own set of bobbleheads, won't they? I think that would be a great thing. January 7th, 1610, while you're looking that up, is when the astronomer Galileo observed three of Jupiter's moons, and other people said, no, there couldn't be anything rotating around that, and that led him to some controversy with the Roman Catholic Church. But, you know, this is the difference between science and belief. Science is just observing things and reporting them, and we shouldn't be fearful of that. We should just say... Great.
Did Galileo ever do anything that didn't get him in trouble with the Catholic Church?
I think this is a sandwich.
What was the causal arrow there? Did they just like decide to go after him for anything, or was he just sort of going after them?
It was
one
because
or the
he
other.
Kept looking up, and that
was
his
problem.
Yeah, there you go. And looking through a telescope, and that also was another problem.
Yeah.
But,
Galileo opened up a bank account on this day in history, and the church wanted nothing to do with it.
That's right. Exactly.
Silver Hill does not appear to have had a name before the discovery of the silver mine. I think it was just a hill with nothing there, and then silver was discovered, and then it became the mine there.
Let's think of something really unique and catchy. How about Silver Hill?
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Okay.
We could do better, but, you know.
Yes, everybody's, they're driving in cars, listening, and going, what could we name that? I don't know.
Silver
that,
Hill.
Yeah, that seems like a pretty good. I got to say something about just like
fortunately, that was the conversation they had back in 1836,
too. This is how you remember history. I tell you what, this is how you do history, because at some point you'll say, I will never forget this now. I'll always remember Silver Hill because that's where the first silver mine came up.
Yep.
Here is another one, and maybe we should call this day Marvin Pipkin Day, January 7th. He died on January 7th, 1977. But he was born in 1889. He's an American chemist.
This is your favorite person in the world, isn't it?
I can't help it.
I saw it was like Marvin Pipkin. It's like,
this is right. You're running.
This is Scott's favorite story.
All right, General Electric had, they had this kind of, they thought it was a funny kind of a thing to do for new employees, and that was assigning them a task of making a practical light bulb that was frosted on the inside, which all their engineers had determined was impossible, but it was kind of like a hazing ritual. So they do this, but they don't tell them that it has been impossible. And, of course, Marvin Pipkin is the guy who actually does it.
Nice.
And so I always like how Walt Disney also said it's kind of fun to do the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good challenge for us all.
There you go.
So, yes, Marvin Pipkin Day. I think that's
it. Speaking with Scott Washington, History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history. We got time for maybe one more. What do we got?
Well, I will say there was something here that popped up on January 12th. And it's kind of amusing. In 1896, Davidson College, and January 12th, well, think back actually a week before this, is when a German physicist, Wilhelm Röntgen, had discovered a new form of radiation that we know now as X-rays. Mm. And so the word takes about a week, gets here, and a group of students in Davidson College, because a lot of these colleges had some of the same similar equipment, decide, hey, let's go in and try this. So they take some photographic paper, and they experiment with it. The first ones just kind of for fun, and I love it. An eggshell with a button on it, a rubber-covered magnifying glass, pens, cartridges, paper clips. And most interesting of all, of course, a cadaver's finger. And later on, it's Henry Louis Smith, who becomes the president of Davidson, a future president, at that point a physics professor, actually is the one who realizes this. And I think they still have those X-rays.
They should, yeah. I think the fact that he then became president of Davidson College is a really interesting coda on this story, because they had to bribe a janitor to let them into the building. They're doing all of these experiments, like very, very innovative, surreptitiously, under the radar without anyone noticing. This is that scene in like two-thirds of the way through Animal House where the crazy frat breaks into some building and does something crazy.
Exactly.
And they're being led by this physics professor who is clearly just this rogue physics professor who like sticks it to the man every chance he gets. And the department chair is like, you're a loose cannon, but you're the best we got. And then he goes on to be the president of Davidson.
I'm not sure he was actually leading the students in. I think they heard about it probably from the professor and said, hey, let's go experiment. Let's go do it. And I think that's kind of that's our ode to science, like test it. And whether it's this or whether we have global climate change.
I think it's great. I think it's a testament to Davidson College that the professor breaks into a building and conducts experiments and then it's like they reward him by making him the president of the college. That's the scientific experiment that we're after. That's what Galileo was doing back
Marvin
300
Pipkin.
Years
this
ago.
Whole,
Marvin
see,
Pipkin.
See, we found the theme. It just took us a while, as it normally does, to actually find the theme here.
We found the theme. Now we need a highway marker. On this date in history, Scott and Aaron finally found the theme.
I rarely
it took us
speechless.
2 years.
This is why history matters and why it's so funny sometimes.
And that's History Matters for this week. You can find the archive on our website, chapelboro.com, or just go straight to theaaronkeckshow.com. Click on History Matters for that. Scott Washington, as always, thank you so much.
And it's always great listening to the show over and over again, too.